It's that whole, it feels like an Oscar. Well, what's that actually feel like? Because you could argue that, well, it's a spectacle. Well, you've got bloody Avatar 3 in there. Now, that, let's be honest, say what you like about the film, but it's absolute spectacle. But it doesn't. Maybe it's because now it's all just computer pixels vomited it up onto the screen. There's no, there's no magic
No heart or
anymore. It's
soul in it.
just Control Alt Delete. Boom, there you go. Whatever you want, it's up there on screen.
That cancels it, doesn't it? Isn't it?
I don't
Control
know.
V, surely.
I don't bloody know. Honestly, for Avatar 3, it should have been Control Alt Deleted. Anyway.
Hello and welcome to the Screen Time Podcast for March 2026. Tonight I'm joined by Simon Crust
I'm in space.
And Mark Costello.
I'm not.
And it looks it.
So we're going to be briefly looking at what the hell happened with the Oscars, which is could be a line for any year ever in the history of the Oscars. And then moving swiftly on before Mark rolls his eyes out of his skull into looking at literary adaptations in quite a broad sense, because we've had a fair few and some Oscar winners in there as well. So
Absolutely.
without further ado, over the year, thank you for joining us. New patrons, we have Albin Jahnheed and Simon Gill. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank
I
you very
should
much. I went to school
point
with a
out.
Simon Gill.
Okay. Well,
No,
maybe
it was
it could
Roger
be.
Gill. Sorry.
Well,
Simon
okay.
Gibbs and
Full
Roger Gill.
story,
Two different
bro.
people. We came
Welcome.
so close. We came so close.
Do you know what?
Unfortunately, Roger Gill has not joined us.
I went to school with also with someone who wasn't Simon Gill. What are the odds?
Incredible.
It's going to be a long one, kids.
I feel
Buckle up,
like it is
strap in.
almost as long as it's been since anyone's bought us a coffee, which I'm
Yeah.
definitely feeling today. Apparently, buying us
Absolutely.
a coffee is not a thing anymore. I mean, maybe it's because every time someone bought us a coffee, we were like, well, where is it? So, Oscars, Oscars, Oscars. Okay, it's a big mess. Nobody knows what actually happened. There were, I would think that it was fair to say that everyone thought that Timothy Chalamet was going to get
Chevrolet.
best actor. Yeah, he was going to get best actor for Marcy Supreme, which was a tremendous performance. And in the run-up, I think everyone was thinking Sinners was going to come in pretty strong. But it turned out that Paul Thomas Anderson's one battle after another won that last battle. Best picture, best director, best casting, best supporting actor, best adapted screenplay, and best editing, which is a pretty good run.
Yeah.
I don't know. You saw it at the cinema, and then I came close to reviewing the disc, and then HMV decided to not send me the limited Steelbook edition until 6 months after the regular edition is out.
Swine.
But I have seen it. Yeah, what do you think, Mark? Go on. Best everything in the world.
Well, I mean, it's one of those, isn't it, where I should technically be happy because horror did the best it's ever done at the Oscars.
But
Because, I
I
mean,
mean,
I just can't get it. I can't get excited about it. I mean, don't get me wrong, right? I loved Sinners. I gave it 10 out of 10. I proclaimed it the film of the year. It wasn't quite pipped at the last by I Swear. Controversial. So I can't really complain, but I just can't get excited by it. I just
you
can't.
just refuse to. Well,
Yes, I
sin
flatly refuse to.
you clearly do. Sinners did well. Original screenplay, so the other screenplay thing. I mean, everyone thought it would go that way round for these two in terms of the screenplay options. I don't just don't think that they thought that one battle after another would get picture and director. Sinners got a screenplay. Interestingly, it got cinematography, which is a bunch of firsts for Autumn Gerald Akpor, who's like the first female cinematographer, I think, to ever get recognized. And I would say that Sinners' cinematography was stunning. It's quite an audacious use of shifting aspect ratios for different portions of the film and very extreme aspect ratios. It's almost 2.8 versus 1.4, 1.43. This is quite a stark shift. I think it was shut the hell out of. But it is interesting that the two, because you almost think that the one that gets best actor and cinematography and screenplay is a shoo-in for best picture and best director, because surely it's with all of those together, it's thanks to a good director behind it and a I don't know. It feels like you should give them all to one, but it didn't happen that way. But the one thing I'm a bit stuck on is the best actor thing, and that's why I do think there's a bit of controversy there. I like Michael Jordan. I am not sold on this being even close to his best performance, and I find it odd. I wouldn't have shot for it
Is
at
it
all. It's
odd?
like giving F1 best picture.
Is it odd? He'd won absolutely no acting awards whatsoever until the BAFTA controversy. Oh, and then look what happens. I mean, oh, and this is the thing that annoys me about this now. I mean,
It's very political.
one battle. I mean, and you don't get much more political than one battle after another. The entire thing is it was it might as well have been called Politics the Movie, for Christ's sake. And so it's when you start looking at stuff like that, you start to go, it's about everything other than the films now, isn't it? It
It's kind of
really
annoying though,
is.
really, because I mean, Chalamet said some very,
Dumb things.
yeah. I mean, it was like one of those things that my like preteen kids would have said to me, having no concept of the world and just spouted it out. They often come up with stuff like this. This movie looks old, and that's why I like 4K, because it fools them as to the age of pretty much anything. But I mean, but they go straight out there with it looks really old, and as if that's immediately it's going to be terrible. That I mean, the comment about ballet and opera, it seemed a very naive thing. He's saying it to Matthew McConaughey, wasn't he? It's
But
this.
I think the whole thing about him, though, is he's tried so hard, and it's like he's been going out there and almost unashamedly going, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win me that award, and people don't like that. I mean, it's ironic that people you can be absolutely shameless and it's fine up to a point, and then the minute you cross that threshold, it's like, oh no, that's too much, now, Timmy, too much.
Too much, Timmy.
I mean, he put a
Too
lot
much,
into
Timmy. Marty Supreme. I mean, I acted the hell out of
Haven't
it.
seen it. Haven't seen it.
I don't. I'm not highly recommending the movie, but the performance is fearless. It's when you look at Uncut Gems and see Adam Sandler doing a similar kind of thing after years of experience. It's pretty impressive seeing Timmy turn up in
Timmy.
Marty Supreme and do it
Timmy.
for the entire duration of what is an exhausting movie. It's the different leagues what he put into that versus Jordan, but I can see how this is political. Less political, although there was rumors she gets snubbed, Buckley getting best actress for Hamnet. I think that she was pretty much a shoo-in for that. I don't think there were many other options. K-pop Demon Hunters, we have a household celebrating here. K-pop Demon Hunters, best animated movie and best music, although they picked the wrong song,
Best
but
original
that's not.
song, yeah.
Yeah, there were better songs in it, but best animated movie, K-pop Demon Hunters, Criterion Collection, bring it. This
Get it
is,
in there. Get it in
yeah.
there. I mean, but the thing though, the last four on your list, right? I watched all those films and enjoyed them all. In actual fact, apart from Avatar 3 for best VFX, F1 best sound, Frankenstein, and Amy Madigan, I enjoyed the hell out of all those films. Gave I think all three of those 8 out of 10. I didn't do F1 for the site, but
Yeah, that
it's
was a
it
10.
feels it. Yes, it was. I don't. It just feels that it's all just a little safe. It's all just a little obvious. I mean, Avatar 3 getting VFX, well, yawn. Frankenstein, best production design. Oh, what a surprise. Guillermo del Toro does gothic horror in his sleep and it looks pretty. What a surprise. I mean, oh, and even Amy Madigan. I mean, I enjoyed Weapons. But I don't think her portrayal is. I mean, she swept the board. She swept every single awards category you can imagine she's got. But to me, it was a.
Well, I don't think
It
I'd have
wasn't
slung
that.
supporting actor at Penn either. But, you know,
Yeah,
I mean,
and so.
I enjoyed it, but I don't necessarily think I looked at his performance in that and went, "Oh yeah, that's a performance, Sean Penn." I
I mean,
just thought he
it's.
was suitably over the top.
Exactly, and it just seems that it's all so obvious, you know. And let's be honest, even the big surprise of the night was that it went to the second favorite actor. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's hardly, you know, Will Smith stepping up and smacking some sense into Chris Rock now, was it? But I just don't. I think this is the one that you just. You have that moment where you realize that it's just not about the films. I think that's my mo this year was my moment. You just
Well,
realize that it
K-pop
just
Demon
wasn't about
Hunters
them.
brought me back, though. You haven't even watched it yet, have you?
I haven't.
Yeah,
No.
exactly. You have no idea. Best animated movie, suck it, Pixar. Really?
There is. But
It's...
I mean, well, I don't know, Si, what did you think of all of that?
It's very interesting, actually. I have just put it up on for proofing. Just reviewed this one. Ben-Hur,
Ooh,
the winner of 11
nice.
Academy Awards. All right. And I would say just about everything in here is justified. So what has happened? I mean, okay, this is fairly old now. And times have
Fairly
changed.
old.
Times have changed. But this deserved everything it got. And I'm not sure that you could point to any of these films and say, "Oh, that's a Ben-Hur type win there. That was absolutely deserved. Perfect, that was." I don't know. It's a very
Yeah,
strange,
I think
weird
you're
and
right.
wonderful thing now, the Oscars, aren't they? They don't seem to have anything behind them. Nobody cares.
I think you're right about, you know, picking old classics, but I also think that time after time again, the Oscars have been renowned for, "Hey, look, we've got Raging Bull coming out. We're just going to completely ignore it." You know, even though everyone is crying about how good it is, we'll give it to something else. I'll give it to Tom Hanks 6 years in a row because, hey, look, he's in another film, and I'm sure he's as good as he was in the last one. You know, so it's not like we haven't had decades and decades of this kind of behavior. I do think you get your Ben-Hurs where you're like, "Oh yeah, that fits." But you get plenty of years. I mean, didn't we come across Robert Duvall's only Oscar win? And it's like, well, who knows this film? And you think about all the
Tender
films.
mercies.
Yeah, exactly. So you think about all of the films that you know he could have been awarded something for, or you thought he was great in. It's not often reflected in the way you think it should.
No, it's very, very true. But I think you know, Si's point is a really good one because it's that whole it feels like an Oscar. Well, what's it actually feel like? Because you could argue that, you know, well, it's a spectacle. Well, you've got bloody Avatar 3 in there now. That, let's be honest, say what you like about the film, but it's absolute spectacle. But it doesn't. Maybe it's because now it's all just you know, computer pixels vomited it up onto the screen. There's no. There's no magic
No heart or
anymore. It's
soul in it.
just control alt delete, boom, there you go. Whatever you want, it's up there on screen, you
That
know.
cancels it,
And
doesn't it? It's Control
don't
V, surely.
you know, I don't bloody know. Honestly, for Avatar 3, it should have been control alt deleted. Anyway, this I think you're right, because there's no cultural cliche anymore. You go to any website now to look at the Oscars. And you have to get through 17 articles about who was wearing what before you
Yeah,
even
you
get
do.
to the
Yeah.
film.
And
And
the
you just think,
adverts. And the
oh my
adverts.
God, on the adverts. And I don't know. I mean, I was more interested in the Razzies this year. I'd rather go
Who
that, you
won
know.
the Razzies? Was it
War of the
Madonna
Worlds.
again?
War
War
of
of
the
the Worlds.
Worlds. Ice
Oh,
Cube and War of the
wow.
Worlds swept the board. Oh,
Wow.
apart from the CG dwarves in Snow White, which won Worst Supporting
Yes.
Actor.
They were terrible. Although I would also shout out to the gargoyles in Luc Besson's Dracula. They were
Oh, pretty bad.
dwarves levels of bad,
Pretty
yes.
bad. Pretty bad. So
Very
yeah, I mean,
nice.
I remember and I was only thinking about this last night. There was a period, probably from about the early 2000s to about 2009, and every year I would stay up and I'd watch the Oscars. I'd book the day off work
Oh God, forget
after it,
that.
and I
What's
would
wrong with
watch it. And
you?
no, but it was important to me, and I'd go out of my way and I would watch all the films, whether I wanted to or not, and I would sit there and I would be invested. And now I could not give a rat's arse about
Yeah,
it.
I mean, there's no way. I've never been that interested. I've never really agreed with them. It's more just, isn't it funny that that happened? That's how I relate the
Oh, I don't
Oscars.
know. I don't
I d
know.
I don't know whether I ever feel I w when I heard, because what happened was, I think I told the story in a previous podcast. I know someone who stayed in a flat for an extended period of time in LA, where they received the mail for the person who was, renting the flat to them, and they were on the Oscars list. And so they promptly opened it and went and ticked all of the boxes of the films they liked and sent back their votes. And
Nice.
when I think about, and it, she said it went on for several years. When I think about that, that's how I think about how farcical it actually is. She said she'd never seen any of the movies. She just like, it was like, oh, I'll just pick that one and pick one.
Brilliant.
She wasn't into movies at all. But that's pretty much how farcical. And you hear about how they go, well, let's watch one film or two films from this list of 20. And really, it sounds like one we'd probably give loads of awards to. And hence, you have a bunch of awards.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of
Those
course.
kinds of stories is, that's why I like it when K-pop gets it, or when something a bit left field gets it. I know F1 was never going to get it, but a movie like that, the year of Top Gun Maverick, where they could have just gone off, forget it, we'll actually give it to a movie that everyone's seen a
Everyone's
billion
seen.
times and really enjoys and is a really great spectacle. But no, it's always got to be some kind of niche
Worthy.
controversy, something. Yeah, a little
Worthy.
bit. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the other thing is, of course, is we change. We
Yeah,
change.
we
You know,
get old.
we've all got older. We've all had more experience. We've grown more cynical. But there was a
Yes.
point where it would get to the Oscars, and back when I were a wee-un, I wouldn't have heard of half the films that were coming out. That
Yes.
were there, that were presented. I mean, I'd never heard of Amadeus. Never heard of Amadeus until it won Best Picture in 85. And, a few years after that, it's like, well, I'll give that a go. It's supposed to be quite good. Absolutely amazing. That's how I discovered
Yeah.
certain films. That doesn't happen anymore because I'm a cynical person
Yeah,
who,
yeah, yeah.
watches far too many films now than he ever used to. So, I accede to that as well, that that's driving my complete ambivalence to it all. But yeah,
Yeah.
I just couldn't be asked this year.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. And
Oh, humbug.
we're not gonna stray much further from it, unfortunately, Mark, because we're gonna roll straight into literary adaptations with
Oh,
a
we are,
bunch
Kaz.
of
Oh, we
films.
are.
Well, one battle after another, Hamlet. I mean, we could have thrown Frankenstein in here. They're all, they're all right up there. And so, I mean, depends what angle you're going to take, but I'm guessing this is Mark's idea for a theme, just to blame everything on him. I'm guessing quite rightly he wants to highlight that there's
Said.
something interesting about doing something different, a la The Bride, in terms of literary adaptations.
Well, thank you for throwing me under said bus, Mr.
Yeah, I
Hart.
did. I did. Yeah, of course.
Well, I mean, I picked it just because it was timely. Like we said, there's so many literary adaptations that are still coming out. And I don't know about you, I haven't read a book in decades, but they are
Audiobook.
still.
Audiobook.
Well, I definitely haven't read one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They are still, Wuthering Heights has just come out. They are still incredibly popular. They are still prime fodder for cinematic adaptation. And I just thought it'd be really interesting to just have a discussion about what works, what doesn't, what do we want, what don't we want. And I've got a couple of amusing ones that I wish to throw in there as my favorite film adaptations of a novel,
We can't
to be
do that.
ridiculed
We
by
weren't
you lot.
prepared for that. No, you can't do that.
I think
We
you'll
don't want
find
to
I
hear
put it in
them.
the I'll put it in the running order, Kaz.
I've never seen that.
Just gonna delete
It's
that.
terrible.
Delete that right now. I have seen it,
It's a
and
shocker.
it is anyway. We'll come to
We'll
that.
get to it.
Just to
We'll get to
we
it.
clearly we will. Oh,
So.
we're out of time. Thank you for listening. So I will say that I think we're in the age of nobody likes a straight adaptation. Not in 90% of period classical books. I'm not necessarily saying it about modern books that haven't yet been discovered. You're talking about your Frankensteins, you're talking about your The Bride's spin on that, you're talking about Hamnet, you're talking about Wicked. These are people who've taken classical properties and they've gone, okay, we did that and we did it again and we did a sequel and we did a spin-off series and everyone knows all about it. Let's go back to the original and let's see if there's a different angle we can take on that. And it feels like that's what they've kind of done. They've done all the Shakespeare plays in the world. And so they've gone after O'Farrell's novel, which is an interesting take on Shakespeare's life, which actually, in many ways, changes your perception. I mean, ha Hamlet's my favorite Shakespeare. So watching Hamlet changed f my fundamental perception of my favorite Shakespeare. And so it's interesting that they're giving these different dynamics. And I'm not saying it's like true to life, factual, but these are different angles. I really love the Wicked films, and I don't know how I'd feel about Wizard of Oz post-Wicked. It's kind of odd because I quite like that version of the same events from a different perspective.
Well, I mean, so interesting points. And I think this comes on to the problem of literary adaptations, because you say it in at the moment we're favoring those adaptations that are a little bit more adjacent to the source material.
Yeah, The
Well,
Bride, one battle after another. I mean,
all
they
right,
can't be
so
straight.
Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, none more straight.
Right, okay.
That's absolutely straight. Edgar Wright's Running Man, far more faithful adaptation
It is a
of
far
the
more
book.
faithful adaptation, but that's a different story, isn't it? That's the story of a book that was adapted in a way that couldn't be further from the book. And a
Well, they
guy
still
who
went back
went,
to do it nearer the book.
Yeah, because you can't adapt the book again in another weird way, because that'll only draw comparison to the film. It's better to go back to the book.
No,
So
but the
maybe
point,
I'm saying do a different spin. You can't do the same thing again and again, and they finally gone, we'll do a different spin.
no, and I get that. But then again, I'll throw you Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. 46 years old, massively different from the book. He took a complete. So the point is, we've
Oh
been.
yeah, Running Man
It's
did
been.
it. Yes. Okay, fair
It's
enough.
been like this all, and it's what's really interesting because I don't have my own answer, which is, I think of my favorite literary adaptations. I love, ironically enough, some of Rob Reiner's stuff that he did, with Stephen King, what he did with Stand By Me, and Misery. One of those is a, I'd argue, a very different take on the book, Stand By Me. One of them is an incredibly faithful take on the book, which is Misery. And I think it just goes to highlight for me that with a la literary adaptation, it's what I want out of the cinematic version of that book differs from book to book, from story to story. And it's why I suppose that we still get now continued adaptations, some of which are very, very straight. Some of them are completely about faced. In the same year, we got Frankenstein. Or sorry, well, within 12 months, we got Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, and we got Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride. You
Yeah,
could
The
not
Bride,
have
yeah.
got
Being
two
different there.
more
Yeah.
ridiculously far apart adaptations of arguably the same source material. What's interesting with that one is you'd have pegged it in the modern sort of cinematic landscape you'd have pegged it that everyone would have gone, oh, Guillermo del Toro doing his usual gothic romance stick yawn. Ooh, but look at that brave, bold new take of what Maggie Gyllenhaal did. Yet it flipped round. One of them's critically lauded, one of them is
Not so much.
somewhat less critically lauded, shall
I
we
think
say.
maybe a
So
part of
yeah,
it is the source material as well, though, because you talk about how they approach whether they make a straight adaptation or not. And I think about like all of John Grisham's early run of adaptations, Time to Kill, Firm, Pelican Brief, The Client. I'd read all the books. I was big, I mean, lore. I was big
Law, of
into,
course.
yeah, big into John
Very big.
Grisham. And so I watched all these films. And it was extremely faithful. I'm not saying they're all great, but they were extremely faithful to his style and to his stories. Maybe it was just easier to accomplish because at the same time, or maybe slightly earlier, I'd read a bunch of Tom Clancy's all the way through until he started becoming basically Harrison Ford in Air Force One, all the way in through until that era of Jack Ryan. I was big into Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan, so Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger. And then I come across the films, and Hunt for Red October is just nothing like the book. The book is so expansive
Dry
in terms of scale,
nickel.
but Hunt for Red October is the Sean Connery show. And the book isn't the Sean Connery show. The book's Jack Ryan show with a bunch of submarines. So I really enjoyed the film. And the two ones with Harrison Ford, he's very Jack Ryan. But the books were super detailed and super oriented towards these vast, sprawling, drug-riddled streets of South America, or this conspiracy with the IRA. It was big, whereas these are much more nuanced, sort of revengeous personal vendettas that you get on screen, which were really enjoyable, but they're wildly different. Maybe there's room for both, but maybe it's part of you take this book and you go, I just can't do this, which is what they did with Cross, isn't it? They've taken James Patterson's books and they've gone, yeah, we can't really do this. And I don't blame him really. I listened to one of his recent Patterson's books because they were another series of The Kiss Girls, Along Came a Spider, another series of books I got into. And it's just got wildly ridiculous. A bit like the later seasons of CSI Miami with David Caruso, where he's just a caricature that only Jim Carrey could do accurately. I'll take my sunglasses off every time I see a body. That was James Patterson's style of writing. And I feel like they just ditched all the books and they went for Cross. We're going to just take the character and we're going to put him in our own stories. And maybe that's why you get some adaptations where they can go, hey, we can stick to this, and some where they go, yeah, that's not going to work. It's just not going to work at all. I can't do it.
And I think your point about the TV stuff is interesting. What with Scarpetta that's just dropped as well last week. So
Well,
obviously,
they fused stuff, didn't they?
29 novels, famously, each novel was a single investigation into a murderer's spate of
And in
murders.
your review, you
Yet,
said they didn't do it. They couldn't do it.
and yet, what they've done is because you always go, don't you, for certain, you've got 300 pages in a book condensed to a 2-hour film. Oh, they've left. So you'd have thought, wouldn't you? Well, we've now got space. We've got 8 to 10 hours now to do the book justice. And yet, even then, they go, no, we can't do just one. We've got to put two together,
Two
and then
together,
we've got to muck around with the family bit and
I
create
know.
some family stuff. And you just think, it's like, and it must still come down to it that some books must lend themselves wholly to a good, straightforward cinematic adaptation, and others don't. It seems to be that, interestingly enough, in this modern landscape where IP rules, fact that what is still considered IP are books still interests me. Because I don't know anyone who reads books anymore. I don't, I, you know, it's really weird that we still keep getting these adaptations. Why? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for the good, the bad, the ugly, all of them. But I'm fascinated how we still keep going back to the literary well for this stuff. I don't know. Anyway, what's some of your favourites or some of your least favourite literary
Well,
adaptations?
let's hear from Si, because I
That's
feel
that.
like
I wasn't talking to you, Kaz. I was talking to
I
Si.
obviously.
One of my, well, I would say Lord of the Rings, actually, as a good
Nice,
adaptation.
nice,
That's the
nice.
Peter Jackson one, rather than the 77 one, because you can feel the love the guy had for the books, and that translates really well to the screen.
It's
And I think
almost as
that's
good
why it
as
was
what he
well.
did with The Hobbit.
Yeah, we don't talk about The Hobbit. We don't talk about The
It's
Hobbit.
funny. It's funny you should say that though, because I agree. I would say that he nailed Lord of the Rings and maybe even made for a more enjoyable experience.
And
Whereas I
yeah.
have huge love for The Hobbit and I couldn't stand his what he'd done to
What he'd
it.
done to it,
Yeah, and it was just how can this be the same guy?
How could it, yeah, how
And
does it even
how could
possibly?
you take something I thought was unadaptable and make it into this something so amazing, and then take something which, by comparison, all these years later, should have been a walk in the park and make it Mission Impossible. So I don't know. That was an odd one.
Yes, it was.
I agree
Interesting.
with that's a nice take, Lord of the Rings. That's a
And
nice
is that what
one.
you're going to go with, Harlow?
No, I mean, of all, you didn't prep me for this, Mark. I didn't think, I just thought we were talking about a few ones we come across recently. I don't know.
Honestly,
I
I mean, if
mean,
only you went to the cinema recently and saw a really good literary adaptation, if only.
no, I mean, I want to talk about Project Hail Mary, but I can't say for a second that that would be my favorite of all time adaptations. But go on, sure, let's do it. Let's say Project Hail Mary. Here we
Good
have
choice.
it, ha here we have what they've done is they've taken hard sci-fi and they've adapted it for the screen without making it dumb, which is really hard to do. And at the same time of doing that, they've made Ryan Gosling like in character from the guy we saw in The Fall Guy be laugh out loud funny to keep you going through this hard science. I mean, it's three body problem kind of science, maybe
Blimey,
more
Charlotte.
than that. You know,
Three for body
it's
problem.
yeah, it's four body problem. Yeah, it's something. It's like it's good. It's good, but it doesn't really spend any time pandering to what's going on. It and it's very nicely done that way. This is Andy Weir, by the way, the author of The Martian, which they also did a very good adaptation of. But
Love The Martian.
I would say that Project Hail Mary, by comparison to The Martian, it is one of those unadaptable. It can't be done. I could imagine that they looked at it after The Martian and went, nope, no, because there are so many ways this could go wrong. And I avoided the hell out of it in the review. But if you watch the trailers or even catch a few snippets, you will know much more than you get from my synopsis, because when I saw it, it was a real nice surprise. But it's pretty audacious, and I think that there are plenty of opportunities where they could have gone, we can't adapt this. Michael Bay, do you have some time? Let's just blow some stuff up and say he saved the world. Blow it up. Blow some stuff up. Armageddon 2, Project Armageddon.
Would
Yeah.
watch. Make it now.
I don't know.
And you know, I mean, I think again, and it's something that I always keep coming back to almost every adaptation. I see what is it I want out of an adaptation. Two spring to mind for me. The first one is: have any of you read Umberto Eco's "The Name of the Rose"?
I have not, but I know you love the film.
You'll
Yeah.
you've seen the film though, haven't you?
I have, yes.
So I love the film. I never finished the book. Because I got stuck on the chapter where he was spending 5 pages describing a door. Literally, 5 pages describing a door. And I'm just like, no, I'm out. It could be the greatest door in the world, but I'm sorry, I am out. This is a classic case of I'm not intelligent enough to deal with this. Just no. Yet the film comes out and makes a cracking period murder romp with Sean Connery being bawled for the first time in his life on screen, and it was amazing. So, as far as an adaptation, that was a great cinematic adaptation. Took something which I deemed a complete mess of a novel, and turned it into a form which worked for me. Brilliant. Well, I think
Yeah, I could
the
see that.
one for me that I wanted to talk about, just because everyone rails on
Is
it,
Matthew
is
McConaughey's favorite best film ever? Ever.
it's not that one. It's the other one, the
What?
other half of the Clive Cussler cinematic universe. So, for those of you that
No.
have never read Clive Cussler, he was up there with Alistair Mac. He was like the Alistair MacLean of the 80s, but much pulpier. So it was Indiana Jones set at sea in sort of modern naval time. So it was historical drama with modern naval slant. Brilliantly, his lead man was all it was called Dirk Pitt, which, believe me, as a schoolboy, made me just chuckle. I couldn't tell you why, it just made me chuckle. But anyway, I read all his books and loved them. And then came the film Raise the Titanic. You know, the film which Lou Grade, its maker, famously joked that it would have been cheaper to lower the Atlantic, which is one of my all-time favorite film quotes ever. Now, everyone I know hates the film, and I don't know why, because that is the film that sealed my love for the Titanic. I didn't know what the Titanic was until I read that book. And yet, the film comes. It's got one of John Barry's most amazing scores ever. It's got the spectacle of seeing this long-lost ship rise out the ocean. Of course, back in 1980, the ship was still in one piece at the bottom of the sea. Of course it was, so you could raise it. Oops. But it had that sort of it did something to me. The romance of that historical sort of drama, and that to me is the one thing that always sticks in my mind when I think of literary adaptations. That is the film that made it physically made me fall in love with the whole Titanic. You know, I've been a Titanic nerd ever since, you know. But that to me is a film that captures the majesty of what the book was trying to do. It was trying to bring life to history in a way that, of course, it combined Cold War, you know, 80s shenanigans and super spy stuff and all that kind of stuff. But when that ship sort of rises out of the sea with John Barry's score going and it finally sails into New York, you know, I'm just talking about it. I'm getting the
Spoilers.
kind of goosebumps I got at the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know, that amazing what if. A terrible disaster hadn't happened. Absolutely, mate. And I go and watch that film every couple of years, and I don't care that history is somewhat shat all over its
Man,
core
what an
concept.
interesting choice.
But
That's
Raise the Titanic to
crazy.
me is just the book was pure pulp, and I read it and it was brilliant. But the film, it made it majestic. And if you haven't listened to it, John Barry's score is one of the most amazing scores you'll ever hear. Don't Spotify it tonight. I guarantee you will not be
All
disappointed.
right. All right. So that is a
So basically, the whole point of this is just so I can wax lyrical
Just
about
because you've
Raise the
got to talk about
Titanic.
a film that you quite like. Yeah, okay. I feel it's interesting that we've headed down this weird rabbit hole through like current films and To Our Best and landed on Clive Cussler adaptations and
My dad will
Raise
be
the
very pleased.
Titanic. It's good. It's a good that's good. That's a
I
good
could have
path to
thrown in,
go
I
down.
mean, you know, I could have thrown in Where Eagles Dare, which is also a very good literary adaptation that my dad would appreciate. But anyway,
Yeah,
I won't. We'll save that for another podcast.
I mean, across the years there've been favorite books, and it's hard to just nail one where I've seen it gone right. I did very much enjoy what they did with Altered Carbon for the first season on Netflix. I was a huge fan of the Takashi Kovacs series. All th the three books were absolutely amazing, and I would say some of the ideas they came up with, I mean, you could try and visualize them, but it was very the ability to feel what someone else is feeling whilst you're feeling what they're feeling, the shared experiences. Like it's, I mean, you read the book, you'll get a vibe for what I'm talking about. Bring that all to life. I mean, they did well. They did well in the Netflix show, season one. And then
I
they
enjoyed
went
season
off the
one. Really
rails.
enjoyed season one.
Yeah. So the books are tremendous. And I would say there's a third
Ah.
one. So you want to get to the third one because Netflix doesn't, because it cancels good shit. But yes. Oh, yeah. And I would say also Project Hail Mary. It's a 10 out of 10, guys. 10 out of 10. Just in case you had no idea and the review's a little bit too long. I mean, it isn't, it's really short, but it's a 10 out of 10. And very helpfully in the comments, the first comment was, it's a 10 out of 10, just in case people didn't know because there's no scores on the front page.
Yeah, but
It's like
that's
the
yeah,
first comment says.
but that's all they do. They just click the link and just scroll. That's it. Flick the wheel on the mouse. That's it. Get to the
It's a
bottom of the
10.
page. There it
It's
is.
a 10.
There it is. That's it.
Wow.
No, I
I'm
am
just gonna say wow.
excellent review, Kaz. I am going this weekend. I'm very much looking forward to it. And I think, as someone pointed out, this was our number one most anticipated film, wasn't it?
Left field though, left field choice. I put it in the review. I put it as a left field choice above the other things that we were gonna pick. And we
And the
discussed it on the
thing,
podcast at the beginning of the
we
year. It
did.
should have been Nolan, Villeneuve. It should have been Doomsday even. But this.
It's because those of us who knew, Kaz, we saw the trailer. We knew
No,
from the trailer.
I didn't
No
see the
trailers.
trailer
I
and
know
I
you
gave.
didn't. That's why it's come as a surprise to you.
No, I gave it the highest score out of everybody, like
You
in the
didn't.
preview.
He gave it a 10.
Nice. Yeah, did you?
It's
I
on the
gave it an.
bottom of the
I gave
review.
it.
Oh.
No,
not in the
Yes.
review. In the original anticipated list,
No, you gave it a 9, I think.
I
There's
gave
no
it a
way you.
nine.
There's no way you had that
No,
more anticipated than June 3. I gave it a 10.
you gave it a nine.
No, I know you're right. I did. I gave The
You gave
Bride a
it
10.
nine.
So it shows how much my critical radar should be trusted.
And you're right. I gave June a 10, but I genuinely don't think that Project Hail Mary will get topped. But I gave it a nine. I did think it was going to be great. It's, but you're right. I hadn't seen the trailer. I didn't know anything. It's Ryan Gosling in a t-shirt. I don't know. He's in space. Great. Like, what's going on here? He's upside down on the poster. Yeah, I don't know anything else.
Goal. That's all
Yeah,
it takes.
exactly. They're going retro in the VFX. I'm gonna hang
Getting
upside down.
dizzy, guys. Just flip the camera.
Oh, I love it. Very nice. Okay, that's it then. I think that's it for them. I think that's it this time. It's not another false. That's
We'll
it.
spare the poor listener any
Yeah,
more of
or viewer.
this.
Yes. Okay, that's it for the March 2026 AV Forums podcast. My thanks to Mark and Simon.
No,
Don't
you're very
forget to
welcome.
do the usual social media, like, subscribe, and so on, and tell everyone about the AV Forums podcast and spread the word far and wide. I mean, I don't know about the bit about if you like the podcast and buy us a coffee. I feel like that's worrying because no one's bought us a coffee.
No one
How about
likes
if you
us.
don't, how about if you don't like us and don't like the podcast, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/AVForums. Let's see how well that works out. I don't know. I'm
We
Kaz
get
Harlow.
one
I'm
next
Kaz
month,
Harlow.
Kaz, if we get
I'm
one.
Kaz. I don't know
Hey.
why it always says I'm Kaz Harlow. I'm Ron Burgundy. Thank you for listening and we'll be back soon.